allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So again, welcome, and let me take this opportunity to introduce you to the members of the board. To my left, we have our building inspector, John Whitman, our attorney, John Bailey, then we have members Mike Williams, Kim Bowers, Bob Lennartz, to my right, Bob Metz, Dwight Mateer, and our recording secretary, Anna Warren Zizzi. If anyone appearing before this board is related through family, financial, or business relationship with any member of this board, is it incumbent upon him to make it known under state law and code of ethics. Our first order of business will be the approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. Each member of the board having previously received and read the minutes of the previous meeting date, December 17, 2024, the chair will entertain a motion that the reading of these minutes be dispensed with approval of the same.
So
do I have a second? On the question, Mike?
Yes.
Kim?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Dwight?
Yes.
And the chair also. All persons making appeal before this board will be heard in accordance with the town's laws of the state of New York, Article 16, Sections 267, 279, and 288, Subdivision 3, and the Town of Orchard Park Zoning Ordinance. Per Section 144-63E1, all public notices have been filed. Any person aggrieved by any decision of the Board of Appeals may present to a court of a record petition duly verified, setting forth that such decision is illegal, specifying the grounds of the illegality. Such petition must be presented to the court within 30 days after filing of the decision in the office of the town clerk. Will the secretary please read the affidavit of publication and posting of the legal notice for this meeting?
Notice is hereby given that the Zoning Board of Appeals of the Town of Orchard Park, New York, will hold a public hearing on Tuesday, the 18th of February, 2025, at 7 p.m. in the Orchard Park Community Activity Center, 4520 California Road, in said town, in the matter of the following appeals.
Okay. Let the record show that site inspections for tonight's cases are made by Mike.
Yes.
Kim?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
And Dwight?
Yes.
Chair also. So we do have a full member board this evening. Any motion will require 3 votes in order to pass. The way that this will work is Anna will read each case. The petitioner will come forward. You can sit, stand, whatever makes you comfortable. You will present your case to us, explain to us what you would like to do. The board will then ask questions. After we have asked questions, we will go to the audience and see if anyone wants to speak either for or against it. If you do wish to speak, you have 3 minutes. Once everyone has spoken, we will close the public hearing portion of the meeting where there is no any more interaction between the audience and the petitioner. And then the board will have a discussion and we will make a motion. So with that being said, will you please read the first item?
File number 125, Timothy Shanahan, 16 Wentworth Drive, zoned R2, SBL number 161.15-2-21, sublot, map cover 3472, requests 2 area variances for 2 separate sheds. The first area variance is to have an 8-foot by 10-foot shed in the side yard, 2 feet from the side lot line. The second area variance is to have a 12-foot by 8-foot shed in the rear yard, 5 feet from the side lot line. Minimum side setback in an R3 zone is 15 feet, section 144-15, attachment height, lot yard, and bulk regulations.
So I put in 2 sheds about a little over a year ago, and then found out that I needed permits for them, so I applied against them. So locations were based off of the rear, one in the rear is for my lawn, tractor, and everything. That one, I understand, since it's on the easement, I'm going to pull that forward to the 10 feet above and then angle it. So I want to keep it within like 5 feet so it's not in the middle of the yard. And the side shed, which is plastic sheds, is for all my pool equipment. And I'm trying to keep that as close to the pool as possible so I can load the equipment in, because with the way the house is, the property lines, so I have to put it in the rear behind the pool, and it's a really deep slope from where they built the pool and everything.
Okay. Is that
And then I do have a letter, if needed, from my one neighbor on the side.
Do you mind if I keep that?
Yeah. Yep. And then my rear neighbor said they would provide a letter if needed. And then on the other side, I don't have a neighbor yet. So that's the only reason I didn't get one on the other side.
And this is the neighbor that it's going to be closest to?
On the right side. The one that's in the rear.
In the back.
Yes,
okay.
The one that's the plastic shed on the other side. I don't have a neighbor there yet. Yeah.
Okay, so then I will have Ford ask questions.
Sure.
Dwight, we'll start with you.
The one on the side lot,
yep.
2 feet from the side lot line?
Yep.
Why did you choose 2 feet and maybe further from the lot line?
Okay. Show you this. So basically, the way the fence comes up, I have it like I built a patio area to where the walkway is,
mm-hmm.
and the house is right here. So I just did it because the fence line would have gone that same way. So between the grass and the actual walkway, that's the only space I had available. And then once it gets out here, is the larger patio pool where then I've had to put it way in the back of the yard. So it's really just proximity. Where that was, and then this is the front layer. So it's kind of like in the middle of the property line from the, if you look in front of the front and back.
Okay. And then the one in the back.
Yep.
Does the easement come in a diagonal across your yard? No, it's kind of just all the way across the deck. I gotcha. All right, I have no other questions. Thank you.
Yep.
Here's Connor, but if you can answer the question too.
So, my understanding is that you're going to have to move the shed anyways.
The rear one, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And is my understanding correct that you still want it to be 5 feet away? From the property line?
On the sides, correct.
Any way you could move it 10 feet?
I think so. If there's an issue, yeah.
Thank you.
Cool. I'm sorry, I'm going to jump in on that. But you said that you're going to move it so it's 8.
Correct.
So just the corners are going to be.
I'm moving it forward off the easement, and then I'm going to angle it to the side.
So it's going to be facing like the center of your yard in a way.
In a way, yes.
Yep.
And then, so then the back rear will be closest 5 feet.
Correct.
So then the front will not
be. The front will not be as close, correct.
Does that make sense? So, I don't want to draw on this, but it's going to be like.
Doors and start to hit the actual patio area.
Is that cement?
It's a cement, layer on.
Right.
Layers on stone.
Are we papers?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I know it might be some work, but that one is to put away again if we were to move it back and make it in and back towards the pool.
Okay.
If it has pool stuff in it.
Yeah.
Would it be that horrible to try and move it back towards the pool?
It would. It would be then just down to the pool between the fence lines and the side of the house. That would be put way back.
How do you maintain the lawn behind the 2 foot off between the fence and the...
Oh, weed whack.
Weed whack.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with Bob with the one in the back. There's no reason they can't have a 10 feet off. But I'm all right with the one in the front. I think the fence hides it. And the side yard.
Wait.
The side yard one.
So I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
The one in the backyard,
yeah.
Did he have to move because of the drainage easement? I would prefer to see that 10 feet off the lot line so that it doesn't need a variance. And then the front one, I think it's kind of hidden with the fence, as long as he's able to maintain behind it. As he said, he weed whacked. You're looking at it, I don't know where else he really put it. It looks like a spot where you could put like kids' toys and stuff to it so they could have access to it. I don't really see if you move it closer to the house how that really has the benefit. The fence screens it. You really just can't see anything but the roof. If he didn't have a fence, I'd have a different opinion on it. So long as he has that 6 foot fence.
Just one thing, like even with the 10 feet, we'd have to provide a variance.
Right.
But I think it's going to be.
It's 15.
Oh. I think we'd be okay with a variance for 10 foot. I think 5 is asking for a lot. He's got a lot of assets for a shed.
Would you be okay with the 10 feet instead of 5 then?
Yeah.
Thank you for correcting me.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
So So I'm going to break these up into two separate motions. So do I have a motion for the... Just make sure everyone's prepared. The first variance on the 2 foot from side lot line, so the one in the front of the property.
I'll make a motion on the first variance. Variance by 1.5, comparing the first variance to have the 2 foot, 2 feet from the side lot line. I make a motion to grant the variance. I don't think that there'll be an undesirable change in the character of the neighborhood or detriment to nearby properties. I feel that the fence that they're currently shields, I know there's visual concerns. I don't feel that the benefit can be sought in any other way other than by granting them the variance. I don't feel that the request is substantial. I don't think that there'll be an adverse effect or impact on physical or environmental conditions of the neighborhood. And while the difficulty was self-created, I don't find it necessarily, it doesn't necessarily preclude the granting of the variance.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Question. Kim?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Dwight?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Chair votes no. What? Get that variance.
For the front.
Front.
The front one.
Yes. Okay. So now do we have a motion for the second variance?
I would make a motion for approval with the stipulation that the shed be a minimum of 10 feet from the lot line. There will not be an undesirable change in the character of the neighborhood or a detriment to nearby properties created. The benefits sought cannot be achieved in any other way other than through the granting of variance. The request is not substantial. There will not be an adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental conditions of the neighborhood or the district. And although the difficulty is self-created, that does not preclude the granting of variance.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I'm a question. Dwight?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Kim? Yes. The chair also, so with the 10 foot?
Yep.
Okay. You are all set?
Well, what are you doing?
If you have questions, you can come to the building.
Wait till like growls thaw, you know.
No, we've got to do it during all.
It's hard to tell everyone. That's my only stipulation.
Tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I'm good.
9 o'clock.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night.
ZBA file number 225, James Atkinson, 7971 Bame Road, Zone Day 1, SBL number 198.00-4-12, Farm Lot 65, Township 9, Range 7, requests an area variance to construct a 26-foot by 24-foot pole barn, 26 feet from the side lot line. Minimum side setback in an A1 zone is 30 feet, Section 144-15, attachment height, lot, yard, and bulk regulations.
So we will follow the same procedures in the last
case. Just real quick note is James is his father, my father-in-law, Jasmine Atkinson, and Chad Atkinson are your representatives for this area.
Okay. And just make sure you speak loud so everyone can hear if you don't mind.
So we're here because we would like to construct a pole barn. We're looking for a 4 foot variance, and the reason why we are requesting the variance and want this building at this approximate location is due to future expansion that we have planned for the building once we have the funds to continue the fixer upper that we purchased. Also, the lot neighboring to us is my father-in-law's property. And we also have a picture here that kind of shows that there's a barn driveway that's on our boundary line, and that's his lot next to us, so there's not really a disturbance with granting the additional 4 feet.
Okay, then I'll have another discussion.
You're not going to use this driveway, right?
No, garage. Vehicle.
You want to go park?
Yep, two.
And our lawn mower and other equipment, because we have an over acre set of making.
Thank you.
Have you spoken to neighbors?
Yes.
Yeah, how do you feel about the project?
The neighbors on both of my sides are my father-in-law, so he's
You have no problem then.
I'm not having any issues.
So the request to have the distance off the lot line, the 4 foot, it's just so that it's within 10 feet, to keep it 10 feet away from the house?
Yeah, we don't have any more room to go towards the house because it's not going to be attached.
Okay. Thank you.
So do you have plans to connect them at some point?
Yes.
Eventually, yeah, that's where the mother room is.
Oh, okay. Does that answer that?
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Okay. So I'm going to go to the audience then. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on behalf of granting variance? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on behalf of granting variance?
I'm on behalf, but I'm with our agent, so I'm the neighbor too.
How are you?
I want to make sure that
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Laura Gutterson, 305 Main.
Perfect. Thank you.
So we used to be all in. Now we have the two lots, which is great.
Yes.
And so 12 point is actually 198.00-4-12.2 a lot, not dash 12, because the lot is split into two. So I just want to make sure that that was corrected. But I would love to be some more people that have a garage.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that John that said something new?
I will verify that. I thought that was the actual number, but.
Yeah,
it's the correct address, but it was split off of the existing address, which was 7971, and we kept that address, and my father got a new one.
I believe in 7975, yes. They wrote.
The split when you did that.
When I bought it.
So will that cause any
Nope.
Okay. All right. So last time, is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on behalf of granting variance? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak against the granting variance? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak against the granting variance? Have you received any outside communication?
No.
Okay. So I will close the public hearing portion of the meeting for discussion. Dwight, any comments?
No. I'm good with it.
Okay. Mike, any comments? Okay, so do I have a board member willing to make a motion?
Come
Okay.
Approval of the area variance as intended. There's not going to be any undesirable change in character or neighborhood or detriment to nearby property. Benefit cannot be achieved in any other way. Request not substantial. There will be no adverse effect or impact on the physical and environmental conditions of the neighborhood or district. Difficulty self-created because it is officially the grant of the variance. So I move to approve those 3 minutes.
Do I have a second? I'll second it. On the question, which one did I start with us? Bob?
Yes.
Dwight?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Yes.
And Chair also, so good luck with the project.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so Anna, next item.
File number 325, previous file number 2123, Ellicott Development, 4297 Abbott Road, Zone B to SBL number 172.05-1-1.1, part of Farm Lot 39, Township 9, Range 7. Request an extension on the previous granted area variances, expiration of variances, section 144-63-D2D.
So, because this is an unusual case, I am going to have John Bailey start.
You want to request for sure? Peter Sorge, the project attorney, I talked to John before, and I think we want any clarification, or you want clarification as to whether this is the proper avenue to apply to extend it. That's right. We agreed to, consent to adjourn this for a month, and we'll look into it in a month.
Okay, so for the sake of everyone here, can you just briefly explain what is going on?
The ordinance that applies here requires a building permit to be pulled within 12 months of planning and variance. And it does not provide for the possibility of extending the variance at that 12-month period. However, there may be something we didn't find in the last day regarding the code. There may be something in case law or state law that gives us the authority to extend it. And also, there is the possibility, if your client is going to accept some risk, that this board would extend the variances as a matter of equity, because this was a complicated proposal, and much of the time chewed up and going through the process.
Well, yeah, like your first two applicants that came up here today, they're not going to have a problem pulling the building within a year. Once we got past the variance, we had to go to the special use permit, site plan, and miss an engineering review. So for a bigger project, it's going to take more than a year every time. I know there has to be a procedure, but this was just brought to our attention, so we'll look into it.
Okay. So
I would ask for a motion to adjourn this until next month.
Right. Okay. So with that being said, I will make a motion to adjourn the case until next month. So just for everyone in the audience, it will not be heard tonight. They will have to go back and find evidence of this, and it will come back before us next month. So I'll start here. Okay. No questions? Kim?
Yes.
Bob?
Yeah.
Bob?
Yes.
Mike?
Yeah.
Chair also, so it will not be heard tonight.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Anna, next item, please.
File number 425, Kelly and David Denz, Stoughton Lane, requests an area variance to have a second permanent subdivision sign for Forest Creek Estates where Norwood and Stoughton Lanes meet East Quaker Street. Permanent subdivision identification signs. One non-illuminated sign not exceeding 16 feet in area may identify a permanent subdivision. Such signs shall not exceed 7 feet in height and shall not interfere with the visibility from any driveway at its intersection with a public highway. Such signs shall be approved by the Planning Board, Section 144-37C, amended 1-2-1991.
Hello, welcome.
Hi, thanks.
So, we're going to follow the same procedures.
So we live in Forest Creek Estates, which is basically made up of Stoughton Lane off of 28 and Norwood off of 28, and the subdivision has been there like 20, 25 years. We moved in about 8 years ago. And my wife took this upon herself to try to lead a community drive to get signs at the top of our streets, recognizing our neighborhood. If you drive by Prongview or some of these other birds on, they have this ridiculously nice sign, not doing anything like that. So we went around and passed out flyers. We got feedback from a lot of the neighbors. Some of the neighbors said they'd been in the neighborhood 20 years, always wondered why there was any, neighborhood signs out there. And some people said they had attempted to get these approved in the past and just never completed the process. So we decided we'd take a run at it. Then we found out. So what we did was we passed out flyers to the neighbors, about 72 of them. And we did that once. And just doing it once, we got about 45 people that returned flyers. Out of those 45, about 42 were all for it. What we would be doing is just when we get the number of people that commit to it, we have a guy in our neighborhood that has a machine that can actually produce the signs, and he's done signs like that in the past. He's gonna, you know, donate the labor, and we just basically be chipping in for the material. We collect the money from the neighbors and get these same signs done. The problem, I guess, turned out to be, so about half the people that responded yes are on Norwood, half are on Stoughton. And then we came to find out that technically we're only allowed one sign. So it either has to be on Stoughton or Norwood. So what we're asking for is the ability to put a sign at the top of each street, that, you know, these signs would comply with all the town code and ordinance. You know, they would look good. And I don't think we'd have any support, like, if it was just one or the other. And the way the neighborhood set up, traffic coming from East Warwick, coming from the Village Orchard Park, would both, you know, have a use to see those signs out there. That's about all I got. I had the forms and stuff signed that, you know, people sent back to us, and my wife has all that stuff, and she got tied up at work, but I don't have that with us. That's what I got.
And I will have more next questions.
Okay.
Bob?
Will the signs look the same?
Yes, they'll be identical.
Okay, thank you.
Who owns the land you're putting the sign on?
I believe it's the town. I think they maintain the, so at the top of each street, there's a little median, you know, grassy area. And I know that they're maintained, the grass is cut and whatnot. I believe the town does that.
Right. So who owns the underlying land? Sometimes maintenance and ownership could be two different things. Are you putting it on in state right away, or are you putting it in town right away?
It must be the town. I believe it's the town.
Okay.
It's set back from Route 28, so it's not part of the state highway.
All right. Thank you.
It'll stay Forest Creek Estates. So it's going to say Forest Creek, and then underneath it's going to say Estates.
Okay. I don't see any questions. I think it'll be nice.
Questions for the church? As far as the thing with the sign, because that's on property, that something that they have to get some control of also, as far as the placement.
It would be this board.
What kind of materials are going to be made out of?
So it's out of goodness, I got to go over here. No, it's a like, was it OBS? It's called. It's like a, it's not wood. It's like a plastic. It's like kind of like the same thing that they
do. Like a PVC product.
Yeah, like, so it's a durable product.
It's like forever.
Okay.
They used to make them out of wood, and then they rot and fall apart. Now it's everything's plastic and PVC and weatherproof.
I have an additional question.
Okay.
How high will the sign be?
I think the max is 7 feet. They'd be less than that.
So it's just going to be an almost 7 foot tall sign, and we'll have two of them?
Probably closer to 6 feet. Yeah, and two. And the streets are probably a few hundred yards apart. So, and they'd be set back in 28.
Any reason you can't have them ground mounted?
Yeah.
The planning board is able to approve one sign.
Yeah.
So maybe you might want to just consider putting in the stipulation that it has to be, both of them have to meet the planning board approval.
Okay. So would that make you feel better?
Yeah, I normally don't see like a big tall, 7 foot tall sign.
So we will just be looking at the ability for them to have a second sign. Then they go to planning board for design.
Fine.
for the grant of variance. Is there anyone in the audience that would speak against the grant of variance? Is there anyone in the audience that would speak against the grant of variance? Anna, have you received any outside communication?
No.
Okay. So I will close the public hearing portion of the meeting for discussion.
I'm for it.
Okay, so do we have to add that as a stipulation that the planning board to approve it?
Yes, I would.
Okay. So do we have a board member willing to make a motion?
I will make a motion for approval with the stipulation that the planning board is in agreement. There will not be an undesirable change in the character of the neighborhood or detriment to nearby properties created. The benefits sought cannot be achieved in any other way other than through the granting of the variance. The request is not substantial. There will not be an adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental conditions of the neighborhood or district. And although this difficulty is self-created, it does not preclude the granting of the variance.
Can I get you to make my amendment? Can you add to your motion that the sign will be placed on town property?
Yes.
Thank you.
I would append my motion to approve that the sign would be on town property.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Dwight?
Yeah.
Chair also, so good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Good luck with that.
Sorry, 300 plus. It's all right. And we've known each other since.
We have known each other a lot.
All right. Anna, next item, please. Let
me see. Number 525, West Turd Dodge, 3599 Southwestern Boulevard, Zone B1, SBL number 161.07-6-3.111. Part of Farm Lot 25, Township 9, Range 7, requests four area variances to put up a 20-foot high, 51.21 square foot pedestal sign with a 1.8-foot wide post on the same lot with a freestanding sign. Maximum 16 feet high and maximum 8-inch wide post as per pedestal signs terms defined Section 144-5 size. One pedestal sign not exceeding 40 square feet in total surface area of any one surface or 80 square feet in area of all surfaces. Section 144-38C2. Pedestal and freestanding signs are not allowed on the same lot. Erection of pedestal signs as set forth in this subsection shall preclude erection of a freestanding sign as set forth in subsection B, section 144-38C2. 3. Previous ZBA file number 3013 for the sign to be moved, currently located at 3551 Southwestern Boulevard.
Hello, I'm property. How are you? Good evening. My name is Debbie Yost, and I work for the sign company that's representing. I'm the applicant for West Her. Basically, we're requesting a variance to install the existing pylon sign that reads Chrysler Dodge Ram that currently resides at 3551 Southwestern Boulevard. We want to move that sign, same, not change it at all, but move it over to the property at 3599 Southwestern Boulevard, which is currently a standalone Jeep location, Jeep store. Wester has expanded the Jeep location to also accommodate the Chrysler Dodge and Ram sales. These brands do require separation from each other. They just do. Separation. They'd like to place that pylon sign at the entrance driveway for the Chrysler Dodge Ram side of the building, which is the east side of the building, and Jeep is on the west side of the building. They both have a driveway on each side as well. As I show in that picture, I just gave them to make it a little more clear what it looks like. Historically, this pylon sign that we're moving has already been approved by the ZBA. Thank you. We already had variance on the size requirement that already passed historically. This pylon is crucial to the recognition of the relocation of the Chrysler Dodge and Ram dealership. So we know adverse effect on the environment that we see, traffic, or public safety, to install this at the other location. So we'd ask you to be able to grant the variance for us.
Just for you again, so I can understand what you're doing.
Okay.
You're moving Jeep sign?
No, we're moving the Chrysler Dodge Ram. If you see on page 3 of the handout, that this is the pylon sign that we will be moving to the Jeep location. But it's going to have, make sure my directions are, the east side of the building is going to be designated just for this brand. And the west side of the dealership is designated just for the Jeep brand. And like I said, they require standalone, separate, they have to look separate. And if you look at the first diagram I gave you, I think it's kind of, you know, they each have a driveway, so it kind of looks almost like they're separate properties, even though they're not. You know what I mean? They're not on top of each other. I don't think it would cause any kind of traffic issues or anything like that. And just would identify that, you know, that brand.
All right.
This is, I'm Jim Malko,
yes,
Director of Facilities with Wester. If I could maybe add a little clarification,
yep,
to that. So, about 3 years ago, Jeep came out with a new leadership, wanted to brand Jeep separately from the rest of the Stellantis brand. So that's, we went and did the remodel at that point in time and made that building just Jeep. Since then, for some growth reasons, we took the Chrysler Dodge brand dealership at a down the road and located that attached to the side of the Jeep store. Debbie is correct, there's lots of, you know, restrictions that we had to put those on the same property, but it was the growth need for our service. So they're still serviced down at the other facility, but we don't want to try and sell down there, so that's why we don't want the Chrysler down the ramp sign down there anymore. Principal group who Joe's company works for is Stellantis' brand guidelines. So that's why they're telling us we have to have the two separate signs. Really just a brand image and way they want to do business. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of say in that. So that might clarify that. So we are not, if that's why we're relocating the plants. We actually did relocate the sales portion of that.
specs that we have to do for it, so it will be ground.
So behind the
slopes down as you keep going.
You probably answered this, but I'm going to ask it again. Your facility there looks very nice. The Jeep sign, the monument sign, looks great. Have you given any thought to a monument sign there instead of bringing this old sign up?
So, again, we follow what Stellantis puts forward for us, and that's they wanted to reinvest. That's their image of that pole sign with the three kind of like flags on it.
I can say something here. We haven't worked on many Chrysler signs over the years. They're pretty much all that look. They have a center pole with a wider base, and it looks like we call it a flag mount, regular flag mount. I don't know if I've ever seen a crown. There might be one out there.
Do you have a catalog of signs?
We don't. That's a Chrysler image thing, and like Jim said, it's kind of, it's not at our, we kind of go out and go with what they ask for. You know, they ask us to do this. You know, we're, sometimes our hands are tied, you know, we just gotta go with what they say. It's, Jim can tell you, you gotta play by their rules sometimes with these things, and, you know.
I'd like to ask the next question, but, or what?
No, I'm just saying, or what, I don't know.
You've not seen where there's been a case where
some
municipality wanted something other than a flag.
So, they might have a smaller version. But again, because of the cost of these things, sign actually is really pretty new. That's only about 3 or 4 years old. We put that in. And with the cost of that thing, it would just end up in a landfill, a scrapyard. Mm-hmm. And that thing's probably $50,000 to $60,000. So rather than throw away $50,000 or $60,000, let's reuse it. That's the idea. And the idea is it's been installed there for 5 years already. We're just picking up and moving.
And then, is anything going to go in place of that sign?
Yes, it's within regulation. It's called the Mopar pylon. I did not bring a picture of that, but that will be at the service center. It's going to say Mopar. I believe it is a little smaller.
It's a little smaller sign.
But it was within, right, John? The Mopar pylon. The Mopar pylon on the service center location. That was all. He got the permit for that.
Right. So is that going to be the same type of sign as opposed to a monument?
Sure.
Correct. It'll be one of these. This will be the first day of the pylon sign.
Okay.
Yeah. When I say pylon, that's okay. And then the
deep
one's a monument.
Yes.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
One thing I'm not seeing is usually we have a site plan that shows right-of-way lines and setbacks. You know, like a aerial.
It's on page 2. I don't know if that helps at all.
It does not. It's awful. Micro. You typically.
It will be the 15-foot setback from the right of way, which is required.
Okay.
And like I said, it would be, I kind of wrote a Jeep sign. You can see it's marked E02. And then you go down, you see Chrysler sign, which is N, the letter N is Nancy, N02. So that would be in the other driveway.
Is that the other entrance?
All right, so I just, for the record, then what you're saying, it'll be 15 foot off the right of line.
Correct.
If the great variance was granted, we would follow everything the building department has as far as setbacks and things like that.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Is there, would it be possible to shorten the sign at all?
No,
we're
not allowed to do that at all.
No.
Chrysler would not let us alter in any way. That's how that goes.
I think that they're engineered and you might disrupt the integrity of the
sign.
Yeah,
there's engineering involved.
There's holes inside there.
Okay.
There's a lot of things inside there, a lot of inner working. So,
they're very highly engineered. They don't like us to touch anything.
Yeah.
We can't even weld on it or nothing. Have to use them as scent.
Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak on behalf of granting variance? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak against the granting of variance? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to speak against the granting of variance? Anna, have you received any outside communication?
No.
Closing the public hearing portion of the meeting. Board discussion.
I'm concerned about having two signs when we're supposed to have one. That's my concern. Oh, I understand the concept.
It was all that's in there, in those envelopes.
Did anyone look at the folder? Was there...
Is there stuff missing?
Everything?
Maybe it got shoved in another folder, because there was originally stuff. It was...
Okay, well, we'll
sorry.
Figure that out afterwards.
Apologies.
Okay. I'm sorry,
you
your concern it? Was what?
Having two signs for a phone call.
No, I'm all right with it.
Okay.
I understand what you're trying to do.
Okay, so do I have a board member willing to make a motion?
I think you can make a motion.
No, go ahead.
Motion to approve the area variance. It should be no one will change in the character of the vehicle or a detriment to your property. But if it can't be changed in any other way, the work is not substantial. There won't be any adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental condition of the neighborhood. Difficulty self-created because it doesn't preclude the granting of variance. So I move for approval of the
provision. Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right, I'll get it and you'll be in the...
Yeah. Last case, please.
ZBA file number 725, Regency Builders, LLC, 7 Wentworth Drive, zoned R3, SBL number 161.15-2-45, lot 66, map cover 3472, requests an area variance to construct a one-story single-family home with a 17.34 lot coverage. Maximum lot coverage in an R3 zone is 15%. Section 144, attachment 15, supplement height, lot, yard, and bulk regulations.
Oh, welcome.
Hi.
We're
going to
follow the same thing.
Peter Sorge, project attorney, and I'm going to hand a few things out, but introduce yourself in the program.
My name is Bob Mayo. I'm one of the owners of Regency Builders.
Sorry we didn't get you these earlier, but I'm going to hand you three documents. The first one are the building plans. And as you can see to the right, that kind of shows where the lot is. The second just shows you the subdivision and where our lot is in the subdivision. And the last thing we have up here is a survey, which I'll hand out to you as well. So essentially, we are applying for a variance for the lot coverage ratio. What's important to point out is that these are custom homes. So these are not your cookie cutter homes where they just kind of fit nicely. I mean, there's two or three different options. What they do is, when they're designing these homes, is they look at the setback requirements. And it's best compiled with the front, the two sides, and the rear setback. So this is the only variance required because it's a custom home. A, because the lot, compared to some of the other lots in the subdivision, is a bit smaller, as you can see on the subdivision lot. They are slightly over. So we are at 17.34%, which translates to 422 square feet in terms of the lot coverage ratio. We have spoken to the adjoining neighbors. They did not have an issue with it. I know I can't speak for them, but it certainly appears that they're not behind me in this room. So you can go ahead and discussion.
Yeah, I've spoken to, you know, all the neighbors on the street, and, you know, approached them, asked if they were going to have any issues with it. They've all conveyed to me that they were fine with it. You know, they like the homes that we built for them. And they'll fit in with the neighborhood and the rest of the homes that we built there. But, like I said, we fit in into the house box that we have on all our lots when we designed these for our customers. So because we're custom home builders, we always try to design our home for what the customer can afford and what they want. So when we designed this, you know, they wanted to have a third car garage with a third patio and a certain layout, right, sizes of rooms and things like that. So we fit it all into our box and it all fit on the lot.
But again, it is something over the code. I think the other issue is that this is zoned R3. I think if it would have been in the R2, which this the zoning line bisects the subdivision currently, it would have been a different analysis. But, you know, when you look at the overall task, the benefits of the applicant, that's weighed against the detriment of health, safety, welfare, the community. Well, the benefit is that they can build the house they want to build. It's a custom house. It's the house they want to live in, exactly to what they want. In our position, there is no detriment to the neighborhood, so you know that balance effect becomes somewhat easier. We don't see any undesirable change. There's not an alternative to the benefit you're seeking, which is to build this house. Clearly, it's not substantial. It's 2.34% over, or 422 square feet. There's no environmental impacts, and yes, you could say it's self-created, like almost every variance you see and everyone you've seen tonight. But that is not dispositive of the whole overall class. So we can certainly answer any questions you may have.
Well, you may not start. Okay. So this is a ranch, right?
Yes.
Okay. And it's supposed to be about 2,000 square feet, a little over.
2,026.
Yeah. Okay. I live in the area, and I do know that the neighborhood, I like that the houses are all different. They are cookie cutter. And it seems like it's a nice neighborhood.
I think this is the last house, too, right?
This is the last one.
I think the only thing that probably takes you over would be that third garage.
Right. But it's better than looking at a car correctly.
I didn't really have any questions. I just wanted to establish those points. So.
So we're talking 15% of 18,000 feet.
No, it's a lot.
18,500.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
But is it 15%?
The determination was made by the building department. So.
Yeah, no, it's you got to do the whole footprint of the house is how it comes out. I don't remember the exact calculations.
Oh, yeah, you look at its square foot. Yeah. I guess it would be different than the actual footprint of the house.
Yeah.
Right, that is the little layer.
The footprint is.
Yeah, the footprint was like 17% over.
It's 2.34%, so it's 17.34% of the entire market.
Okay, so what is the entire footprint of the house?
I
think it might be on my application for that.
It's over by 442 square feet.
Yeah. Oh, we have to subtract it out, I guess.
So it says, they propose 3,207 square feet lot cover. 2,774.
Yeah, again, I got this part of lot cover. That's why it's.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, it's not over by much, but it's over.
Any more questions?
Yes, and looking at this page, The lot coverage here, the footprint rather, is 2,026, whereas the building that you're showing, I believe, is around 3,207.
Yeah, that 2,026 is living space. It's not counting garages or porches.
Just the way you can calculate that with any house.
Yes.
The basements aren't calculated in the square footage or...
No, I'm looking at how many square feet the footprint is here. I'm not comfortable with it being 2,026 and then we're looking at 3,207. I mean, that's like 50% difference.
Would that be correct? That's not a garage, I mean.
I guess what I'm asking, is there an updated...
No, this is the plan, but what I'm saying is that box that you're reading?
Yeah.
The architect has only called out. This is my plan from my architect that we submitted to the building department.
Because it doesn't, I don't know.
That's just selling you the square footage of the living space on the inside. It's not counting the garage space, which is three car, or the rear patio of the home, or even the front porch. That's just the living space.
I think that's how you get that extra 1,000 feet of footprint.
I don't know. It just doesn't match up to me. I mean, there's a garage.
This determination was made by your building department after they had a full set of plans.
Yeah. So I'm just seeing this for the first time.
Oh, no, I get it. It's not us that makes the calculation as to how if you need a variance. Mm-hmm. It's the town. But it does fit in within, as I said, the box, meaning it doesn't require any setbacks.
Yeah, all our box family. There's like a dotted line on our maps that we have to fit the homes inside of in order to comply with sideline, setbacks, rear yard, which all our houses have.
Okay. Building envelope, yeah.
The building envelope. Until now, you know, we were over this 15%. I didn't realize the zoning, for some reason, the changes on that street, I'm not sure why that's not the point, but we do realize that we would be 15%.
I guess it makes sense because one, it's a ranch. Secondly, the lot is one of the smaller lots that we have. Some of these lots are much deeper than a curb. So the house is not out of character at all. There's no neighbor here in opposition to it. So again, it's the last house we built in subdivision for custom homes.
No.
I really don't know. It's an answer that I thought it was just and just visually working at the lab, you could tell the garage was a little bit smaller.
Yeah. Well, I guess. Not in width, but I think it's the depth that just got a little shallow.
Yeah.
The width was, it was 100 feet, I think it's what most of the lots on the street were.
John Whitman, would you want to weigh in anything on the discrepancy of the proposed 22,026 square foot home versus the 3,000? Yeah, 207 number for
footprint. When we calculate things, we look at the set of plans that they give us for the foundation plan, and that's where we take our calculations. So measure all those out. For the most part, you've got to kind of box things out and everything and measure that way. But they do say what the dimensions are, different sections of the house and everything. So that's what we do. We go by those calculations. And then we figure out what that foundation footprint is, and that's where we come up with our comment.
All right, thank you. I have no other questions.
So, John, that's strictly foundation then. That first figure, the 20,000 or the 2,026.
I don't have any
livable.
Yeah. So it doesn't count the garages or the patio.
Or the park.
And that's because you have 2,000 square feet essentially.
on behalf of Grant Barrett. Is there anyone in the audience? Okay.
My name is Elliot Lasky. I'm the partners with Bob. We'd like to mention that the owner of the lot, the post customer of the house, is here. We had closed on the lot with the owner, not realizing that there was any issue with the dimensions in terms of ground cover. So I didn't know if you realized that the agency doesn't own the lot anymore. It was purchased. The owner would like to start construction. And just to avoid confusion, living area is just the box of the house, ground cover, just the living area plus the garage plus the porches, you know, whatever the ground cover.
But the only thing I'd add is that Peter did say that she was here the second thing I said.
I didn't hear you, so you didn't use the microphone. Sorry.
So would you like to
speak? Eric Bethel-Lopez, my husband and I were looking to build a house. There are more two-story houses in the neighborhood. We chose Ridge. We're getting older. We're getting rid of a house with stairs. We don't want stairs anymore. Hence the third car garage. It's my husband's workshop. He doesn't want to go up and down basement stairs. He wants to work in the garage. And we did have a nice patio put on the back, which is in the back and not obstructing anything, or, you know, it's just a patio out in the back. It's left to sit out in the back. So we love to build the house there, love the neighborhood. Lived in Orchard Park for 35 years and want to stay in Orchard Park. And there's not many spots to build a ranch. There's not many ranches for sale. So we're hoping, you know, this will be it. Thanks.
But just an FYI, then, too, any shed in the future would require